You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Red Sox On Deck Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Osgood. Joining me, as she does every week, is Shelley Verstrait. Shelley, what's happening? Slightly different look for the Red Sox this week, huh? After a few days?
Yeah, things have changed after that first opening weekend where, you know, we just couldn't hit a lick. Now we're hitting everything out of the park, and it's just, you know, lollipops and candy and just everything super sweet.
That's right. Yeah, I know with the day games are tougher, especially during work and whatnot. So last week, I felt like we got to Sunday night, they were 0-3. There was one day that I stepped away for a half hour and they were down 10-0, and I said, well, you know, here we go again. need something to reel us back in. And the last 4 days have been great. There's been some exciting games. There's been walk-offs. Anyone who had a slow start, for the most part, is starting to come around, and Martinez hitting anyone and everyone to all fields. So, you know, it's coming around. It looks like it's going to at least be an interesting season for the foreseeable future. And but we're here to talk about prospects today. So I think we will transition to that. We have a couple of interesting rookies that we haven't covered yet that are in different situations that didn't really fall into the AAA, AA, high A, low A, and below so far. So we'll hit on that in a little bit. We have some news and notes to start with. First one being that Brian Mata, the right-handed pitcher, has resumed throwing. Last time we talked about Mata, he had been suffering a slight UCL tear, which often leads to a Tommy John surgery. They decided about a month ago to not go that route, and we're going with rest, and he has resumed a throwing program. I know at the time that we both thought that we were surprised, and at his age, maybe just get it over with. But any thoughts on Mata resuming throwing here in April?
I was actually surprised to see that he was throwing so soon after that tear, in his UCL. Fingers crossed, fingers and toes crossed, maybe even crossing your eyes here, that everything is still going to be okay. We don't know exactly like how hard he's throwing or what's going on, but I guess it's kind of a good thing that he is throwing. But yeah, I still kind of feel bad. Feel the same when we first talked about him. Like,
yeah,
I go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it sounds like they're doing strengthening programs and are hoping that they can, in my opinion, it sounds like they want to give it another couple months and see how he responds to ramping up again. And I'm not going off of any quotes on that, but I'm just looking at timelines. If you have a Tommy John surgery at the age that he's at in April of 2021, he's going to be out for the whole season, and he's going to be out for all of or the majority of the 2022 season. So whether he has, if they decide to go the surgery route, whether they do that in March or April or June or July, he's going to miss most of two seasons. So yeah. That's kind of something that is in my head a little bit, that just based on the timing, if it was October and he would only miss one season, maybe they would have done it then. And this might just be something to see, all right, let's rest, let's evaluate. And if it's not getting any better by the time that June rolls around, he's going to miss close to two seasons anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, when it comes to him, it's like, excuse me, when it comes to him, it's like all the other injuries, like the back injury, the hamstring injury, you know, just all these other little knick-knacky things, and then has this on top of it.
Yep.
I just, boy.
I like you said, I'm going to be positive about it, and I hope it works out, and I hope that the rest and strengthening, and we get to see Mata, even if it's in a relief role a couple of years down the line. I definitely want to see him stay healthy and hope that there aren't too many injuries in the long term. And, you know, with the news and notes, there's not a whole lot going on right now, which is our other topic, is that they started practicing in Worcester. That's going to be the alternate site this year for the first month. The AAA season is a month away. First week of May is when they're anticipating starting at AAA. Seems like they're putting the finishing touches on the Worcester stadium. The Polar Park is the name. And they've started having practices out there. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing a game on TV, seeing more video from that park. It certainly looks nice. I already miss Pawtucket, as that's something that I grew up with. But I'm excited to... if they're having fans out there to catch a game or two in Worcester later this year. So that was the other item that we had for news and notes. Not a whole lot going on, and that's kind of a theme that we'll have throughout April. We welcome any suggestions, any topics, any additional players that might be under the radar or at lower levels or anything like that that you want to hear about, or if you want us to go more in depth about a player we've already talked about. By all means, you can tweet the two of us. My handle is BobOsgood15, and Shelly's is ShellyV_643. And you can also send a message to the Over the Monster account on Twitter. All right, so we thought in the opening week we would talk about a few rookies that are still rookie eligible. So rookie eligible means, without getting into too much detail, it's usually that they have had less than 130 at bats in the major leagues or less than 50 innings pitched in the major leagues. And then there's also some service time, how many days that they've been on the active roster, and the shortened season threw even more wrinkles into that in terms of who's rookie eligible or not. But there's a few that we've seen over the first week, a couple we've already talked about, and a couple that we haven't. So I figured we would start with Bobby Dalbec, who entering Thursday's action was 2-for-14 with 5 strikeouts. Had a couple more strikeouts early on in the game today. Seems like he's pressing a little bit, but this isn't a surprise. Dalbec is a hot and cold hitter. He is streaky. We saw that last year, and we knew that there would be strikeouts. So, Shelly, I don't know if you had any thoughts on Dalbec, what you've seen so far, and, you know, if you think that how long of a leash they might give him for playing time-wise.
Yeah, the couple games that I have been able to catch, because unfortunately I live in Virginia, so I'm blacked out from all of Baltimore games, so I really only caught one series.
They play a lot of Baltimore.
He kind of looks kind of the same as what he did last year. Like, when he was on... It was just all of these home runs and stuff like that. And spring training, that was the same way. But also, you know, same with spring training, same with last year, you get strikeouts as well. Strikeouts are home runs. It's really all that you're going to get with Dalbec, and that's kind of what we're seeing. We're just not seeing the home runs yet. So I do think that he's going to turn around a bit. But yeah, this is kind of what I expected. And I'm hoping that once he gets like a little bit more maybe comfortable in the majors, maybe we'll see that average tick up a bit. But yeah, this is kind of what you should expect from Dahlbeck.
Yep. I don't have a whole lot to add there. I think that he'll get hot at some point, whether that's in the next couple of days or a week from now. You know, I think if it gets closer to a month, you might see a change. You might see a Michael Chavis situation. So, you know, they do have different options, and they have a lot of depth, which we've talked about. And, you know, we'll see. I think they'll definitely give him more time. You don't want to overreact to a week or anything like that. He's liable to hit four home runs in 4 days starting on, you know, this weekend. So, well, that is definitely something to keep an eye on. The next player I was going to bring up is Tanner Houck. Houck has thrown six innings in his early season outings. He had a start on the opening weekend. He had a relief appearance earlier this week for one inning, an extra inning in the extra inning game. So he's thrown six innings, seven hits, two runs, one walk, 10 strikeouts. Can start with you, Shelley. I have a few thoughts, but he's been sent back down, you know, to the alternate site. I'm sure not for good, but what did you think of what you saw from Houck? And has your opinion changed on his role for 2021? Do you think it was the right move to send him out now, obviously knowing that it's probably not for too long?
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be for too long. I mean, I coming into last year, I just thought that Tanner Houck was going to be a reliever just because of, you know, all of the pitch mix changes and mechanical changes that the Red Sox has tried on him. I was like, oh, he's probably just going to be a reliever, but you know, he's got a good slider fastball combination, so that, yeah, sure, that can work. And then he comes up last year and just absolutely looks totally filthy, and I'm just like, okay, this is, you know, this is kind of interesting. And in his start against Baltimore, it looked really, really good. And then when he came out for that one inning, I think he picked up a couple strikeouts coming out of the pen, and that was really nice. I do think that we see him relatively quickly. I understand why they sent him down. You know, I know that Garrett Richards had an awful start, but you need to give him just a little bit of run. But honestly, I don't know, give it about a month, and I think we might have a switch here between Tanner Houck and Garrett Richards.
Yeah, and exactly what you said there. I think that they are, by sending him out, they're kind of deferring their decision a little bit. Personally, I would have liked to see them give Houck a second start and just have everybody slide back a day. I know that Erod was ready to go on Thursday, but I would have said, hey, you know, let's start Houck on Thursday and have Erod go Saturday and just give everybody an extra day. I'm not a fan of a six-man rotation by any means, but you can do it here and there to give someone another opportunity. I would have loved to see one more start. If he was dominant again, and then somebody, if there was an injury, if somebody was not good on their second appearance, then maybe, you know, that forces you to make that change anyways. I agree. I think you're paying Richards more than $10 million. There's, you know, too much that you have invested to just bank on or just go off of one start that he had in cold weather in early April. So I don't think that they should have made a permanent move with Houck in the rotation yet. But I would have liked to see him go one more time. And frankly, I'd rather just have seen them shift him to the bullpen. I don't care which innings he throws. What I saw in as a start and what I saw in extra innings the other day was electric. His slider, I saw a stat that he hadn't allowed a hit. They were 0 for 19 with 13 strikeouts in the big leagues against that pitch. He gave up a hit to Adames the other night in the extra innings that he kind of left over the plate, but he's added 2 miles an hour to his fastball. He's throwing close to 95 on the fastball now and 84 on the slider, which is up from last year. So I don't know. I want to see more of it. He has a strikeout rate that is 35% of the batters that he's faced in the big leagues. And when you look at that, it's a small sample. You can't just say that that is who he's going to be. But it's next to names like Glasnow and Bauer and Giolito and Lamet. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be any of those pitchers. But when you see a strikeout rate that is that high and he's not walking people, I'd like to see more of it. So I probably made my point. But hopefully he's out for a week or two, and we get to see him back in the rotation within the next month. All right. So after that, Hirokazu Sawamura is another rookie. He's an older rookie because he came over from Japan. He is 33 years old, just turned 33 earlier this week. Three innings, one hit, three walks, and three Ks in his first three outings that he's had with the Red Sox. You know, he's definitely an arm that belongs. I know early on in spring training, he, you know, looked shaky, definitely looked nervous, looked like somebody who was pitching in the big leagues for the first time. But he has a fastball and a slider and a split finger fastball that is the pitch that has kind of opened my eyes a little bit, that he was throwing it close to about 92, 93 miles an hour, and it's got some late movement to it when it's on. You know, he's not going to be, or unlikely to be, one of your top couple of bullpen arms, but it's definitely someone that I think they'll be able to rely on in possibly high leverage situations if he's throwing strikes and he has this splitter working. I was impressed in a couple of the outings that he had.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, like in spring training, like those first couple innings, it was a little shaky there. So I'm like, I don't know about this, but he really has looked pretty good. I mean, I really like a really good splitty. I really do. Just the movement and everything. And if you got that thing working, right, you could just totally just be an absolute dominant pitcher, even just with that. So I'm just excited just to actually watch, you know, a guy that has a fastball splitter. Yeah. And, you know, he also throws in a slider. I love it. So, yeah, I totally agree with you that he's probably not going to see too many, late inning, save types of situations, unless maybe there's, a lot of injuries or, you know, shit hits the fan or something, and we gotta put him out there, right? But yeah. I think he's going to be, a really, really good, useful guy coming out the pen. And, I mean, I started podcasting here at Over the Monster last year, and I don't even want to think about that pen from last year. So any good pitching that I see, I'm just absolutely in love.
Yeah, it's good to have heard of the people that are coming into games this year and being familiar with them, and, you know, knock on wood, not have any more COVID situations that took out about half of the rotation in the bullpen at times. So yeah, it's good to see some arms that it seems like we can rely on, and that includes the next guy. And we're going to do kind of more of a breakdown for Garrett Whitlock, someone that we didn't touch on because we knew he was not going to be a minor league pitcher this year, as he was acquired via the Rule 5 draft. And with the Rule 5 draft, you have to keep that player on the team for the duration of that first year in the organization. And if you don't want to keep him with the big league club, then he goes back to the original team. And that's the case with Whitlock. Fortunately, from what we've seen so far, it doesn't look like we're going to want to send him to the minors or send him anywhere this year. Might have gotten a little bit lucky, because Whitlock was one of those pitchers that might have just snuck by because of his situation, which was that he had Tommy John surgery in the summer of 2019, and then was rehabbing last year and missed the entire season. So New York did not protect him. You can only protect so many players from that draft. They chose not to do that. Boston selected him in that Rule 5 draft this offseason, and he's with the team for the whole season. So, Shelley, what have you seen with Whitlock, and you know, what do you think his ceiling could be this year and down the road?
Garrett Whitlock has just, you know, just really come onto the scene here and has just been absolutely, you know, lights out. I mean, today against the Orioles, he went two innings. He came in after Erad. So he went two innings with three strikeouts. And honestly, I mean, that changeup, you know, that I've really seen. And I think that I saw that Matt Andrees actually taught him that grip in spring training this year. So it's like he hasn't even had this pitch, but it has so much movement. And so it's so deceptive, and it's really, really nice to see. You know, I've seen, you know, gifts and stuff like that. But yeah, he's been very impressive. And it's also like really awesome to have like a guy who can go not just one inning, he can go two, three, because I mean he was brought up as a starter, right? So I don't know. Yeah. Like I think that this guy is gonna be like a really interesting long man, and I think we're gonna see a lot of Whitlock this year.
Yeah, I agree. And you could see today. I mean, they brought him into a one-run game in the sixth inning. And, you know, they have an off day tomorrow, so they didn't need to totally manage their pen, and they trusted him in that spot based on what they saw last weekend, where he came into the 10-0 game at some point and threw 3 1/3 shutout innings with 5 strikeouts. So that's 2 good long outings. And I think they want to keep him stretched out as a potential starter, both in the short term as well as I could see that happening in the long term. I think if he looks good in the bullpen this year, I mean, if it's in a high leverage role, maybe they keep him there. But if it's more as a swingman long reliever, I think that he's a candidate to be in the rotation next year. He has made a lot of strides. This is not when you read the scouting reports on Whitlock, the pitcher that we're seeing this year is nothing like what you read, because he hasn't pitched in 2 years. He's throwing, he's got so much separation between his fastball and his changeup. The fastball has been up to 96 this year. His changeup's at 82. He's throwing the changeup with confidence and for strikes, and it's got this late movement. So when you see the fastball at 96 after that changeup, it looks 100. He also gets extension. He's one of those guys. He's 6'5". He releases the ball further from the rubber than most pitchers do. So he's got good fastball. He's got that extension, and it looks faster than it actually is. It certainly appears that way for the hitters. So yeah, I mean, he has a slider as well. So he does have a third pitch. It's not quite as good as the fastball or the changeup, but it's there, and it's something that I'm sure he would use more often as a starter. He's just kind of been flashing it here and there so far. But yeah, no, I'm definitely excited about Whitlock, short term and long term. I would say that he's the one that has jumped out to me the most in the first 7 games out of any player on the Red Sox roster. So yep, definitely agree there. And then so the last player that we were going to cover today is probably the most interesting story, and that is Noah Song. Same type of thing. We couldn't place him on any of the previous shows because he is with the Naval Academy. Has a flight school commitment after going to college at Navy. And essentially, his story is that in the fall of 2019, after he was drafted by the Red Sox and had gone to Lowell, he applied for a waiver to kind of get that deferred in some way for what his commitments were to the military. That was in the fall of 19. He was still waiting in the early 2020 and kind of made the decision that he was going to go in April of 2020. Got his assignment in June. It's potentially a 2-year assignment, but it could be more. He could make the decision that he's not going to play baseball again, and he's going to stick with the flight school commitment and do that full time for good. So there's the widest range of outcomes possible for Noah Song, more than any other player that we'll talk about. It's not, you know, an injury concern. It is, and it's not a concern at all. It is that he may choose to go that route and will never play baseball again. And then there is the fact that he throws 99 miles an hour and has 3 above average potential pitches and was an absolute beast in the last couple of years that we saw him, you know, playing baseball. So I have a little more to add, but Shelly, I didn't know if you wanted to fill in any of those gaps or give any thoughts on Noah Song, right-handed pitching prospect.
Yeah, I really like Noah Song, and I understand how, you know, we were able to draft him, because, I mean, everyone, you know, all the teams knew that, you know, he had this commitment. So that's really why he kind of fell in the draft. But I just remember, I think it was in the 2019 Team USA competition where, you know, they faced it off against, like, different countries. And he was coming out of the pen for Team USA, and he was just, like, hitting almost, you know, 99, 100 with this, like, fastball, and no one could catch up with it. And I absolutely fell in love with just everything that he was doing.
Yep.
And I mean, I understand that, you know, he has a military commitment, and, you know, I totally get that. He seems really, really, you know, willing and excited to, you know, serve this country and all that stuff. And I mean, I saw a picture that he just started, like, flight school, you know, that was him in his, like, flight suit, and I guess his teacher or whatever beside him. So I mean, that's really cool. And honestly, I mean, I don't want to be, like, super, you know, selfish and be like, no, I want you to be a pitching prospect, right. But I mean, if, you know, if the military thing is what he wants to do, I mean, I'll, you know, I'll go for it, man. Just do what you do. But
yeah,
I really like him, but he is really just one of those guys where it's literally like a shruggy emoji. You have no idea what's going to come from him.
Yeah, like I said, that quite literally the widest range of baseball outcomes possible. Yeah. I don't know if he's throwing bullpen sessions on the plane or if he has anyone that can catch him. So, you know, hopefully he's doing a little bit of that. In terms of what type of pitcher he is, you know, well, I guess to start, you mentioned that he dropped in the draft. He was a first round talent in 2019, and those unknowns dropped him to the fourth. And, you know, fourth round is a good time to take a risk on that kind of upside of what he could be. He has a four pitch mix, the fastball, the slider, and the changeup. All kind of profile as above average pitches to plus pitches, depending on which scouting reports you read and what you've seen. He's thrown as high as 99. He usually sits in that mid-90s range. Slider in the mid-80s that has, you know, bat-missing potential. It can be a little bit inconsistent, but it's gotten better as he's gotten older. Has a curveball as well, kind of as a second breaking pitch that he doesn't throw as much, but it's described as a knee-buckling curveball, right? He can really throw it out of nowhere and surprise you with that pitch. And then he has good arm speed to separate the fastball and the changeup. He's used the changeup more. It was sparingly used in college, but it sounds like it has improved as he's gotten older and in the limited time that he was in the minor leagues. And you look at some of his just ridiculous strikeout numbers at Navy. Junior year, 2018, where he had 121 strikeouts in 89 innings and a 1.92 ERA. And then the last season in 2019, before he was drafted, 161 strikeouts in 94 innings in 2019, which is just an absurd rate, regardless of where you're pitching. And then came up through 17 innings in Lowell later that year, only giving up 2 runs, 19 strikeouts. So that just continued. He continued to dominate, albeit at a lower level. So, like you said, you know, whatever his decision is, we will, of course, all be okay with, but it would be great to, at some point, just see what he has to offer, even if it's 2 years down the line, 4, 6 years. It would be great to see Song pitch at some point in the Red Sox organization, but we will see. We'll see whether that happens or not. Yeah, anything else to add today, Shelley? Any other topics, anything going on in the baseball world that you'd like to add?
Not really, other than it feels you know, a lot better than last weekend to be a Red Sox fan. It's fun watching this baseball.
Absolutely. I agree. So we're going to end it there. As I mentioned, you can hit us up on Twitter. My handle is BobOsgood15. Shelly's is ShellyV_643. Definitely subscribe to all of the Over the Monster podcasts, and they're all kind of go in the same feed. If you like this show or any of the shows on the Over the Monster podcast network, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. We appreciate that. Helps us out a lot. And we will talk to you all next week. Thank you.